The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Of course, one of the things the government decided last week as well was not to allow for an increase in the numbers allowed at outdoor events from the existing cap of 200 to 500. Now, this is something that I think in particular has upset a lot of people around the country who wanted to go to sports events. You have stadiums all over the country which can take multiples of 500, who could take 5,000, 10,000, 20,000. Even when Leinster play Munster in the Aviva on Saturday week in the restart of the Rugby Pro 14, you could have 50,000 seats. You could surely have 5,000 or 10,000 people in the ground, adequately socially distancing. Michael Foley, sports writer with the Sunday Times, focused on the GAA in his newspaper yesterday. How much disappointment is there within the GAA that this number was not increased?
Hi, Matt. Yeah, look, I think among the general population of GAA members and people who would like to go to games, obviously a lot of disappointment. I think at sort of national official level, if you like, they would have lobbied for an increase. But I think at the same time, you know, look, they have to temper their reaction in terms of sort of, you know, look, they're very much in a reactive situation here. They can't really go around looking for demanding things. They can only react to government decisions. So they can ask for something like or support something like an increase in terms of the attendance from 200 to 500. But if it doesn't happen, there's not a whole lot they can do about it.
But what about the financial implications? Because at the moment we have not inter-county matches yet, but we've county championship games going on all over the country. And many of them are taking place in grounds which could comfortably accommodate, you would think, 500 people. And at least if these people were paying in, it would help cover at least some of the expenses.
Yeah, like, I mean, look, that is obviously the big issue in terms of the financial black hole that's been created by this restriction, not just at national level, but even more, I suppose, acutely at local level, where you have counties, you know, expecting to lose up to 80% of their income because their gates have collapsed. But I suppose the issue around it isn't necessarily what happens inside the ground. It's kind of what happens outside the ground. Like, if you think about it, like, the GAA has more than 2,200 GAA clubs. So right now, at the moment, you're talking about a serious number of club matches going on around the country. If you've got 200 people going to those games, or in the region of that kind of number, if you overnight double and more than double the potential for the number of people going into those games, you automatically double the number of people that can travel. Not necessarily, I mean, it's for some parts of the country, it's a short hop to go to a match against a club across the way or something like that. But in a lot of places, you're talking about long distances. So I think from a NPHET and from a government point of view, from the health authorities point of view, it's that bit. It's that part where people are leaving their houses and congregating outside the grounds, but also congregating, for example, you know, like in petrol stations or stopping to get food and things like that.
It strikes me, Michael, that getting out of the ground might be more of an issue going in, that when people, if they get themselves there in plenty of time, they'll queue at 2 metres distance to go through the turnstiles. But we all know what people are like when a game is over, or nearly over. They're all rushing to be the first out of the ground to get to the car to get away. That's where it could be very difficult to police.
Absolutely. I mean, look, there's all these unseen difficulties. And you also have the issue then around sort of stewarding these things as well. I mean, the GAA for years now has talked about the issues around volunteerism and trying to get more people involved in their club. I mean, you know, quite apart from the financial cost, the amount of people it's taking to actually allow these games to go ahead as it is quite significant. So if you throw in a kind of an extra stewarding issue and that obligation, as you said, to make sure that as well as an access, there's also a safe exit, it becomes very, very complicated. So it's not just as straightforward as saying, well, you know, we'll say we have, for example, Semple Stadium in Thurles, big, massive capacity. Why can't we have more people in it? Well, it's a lot more. If you start thinking about your day going to a game and what happens when you go to a game, then I think it might start to sort of open up for people why there is a difficulty around increasing it to 500.
Johnny Doyle, former Kildare star at intercounty level, still playing at club level, even though he's moved into his 40s, joins us as well. Johnny, thank you very much for joining us. Of course, you're in a situation where you've had to stop even club games at this stage.
Yeah, we are, and when the initial announcement came on Friday evening, it was because we'd started our championship the week before and played a couple of round the leagues, and this weekend was Hurling and Kildare, and you know, everybody was sort of upbeat, and you knew there was it was going to be a season where you knew exactly when games were on, and it was great to be back playing. So initially, did very disappointed when that news came in, and that would be I suppose the general feeling on the ground, talking to players and stuff like that. That, you know, Jamie, will we ever get back? And you know, if we close down for 2 weeks, where will that go into the inter-county scene? And all those of course questions and very little answers, Matt. You know.
Yes, and how had it been going? I mean, how enjoyable was it to get back after the lengthy period in which clubs weren't even allowed to train with each other?
Yeah, look, there's no point saying anything else. I mean, it was brilliant. I see even in our own club, you know, lots of lads maybe that would have went away for the summer, or, you know, different jobs and things like that were around. I don't ever remember in Allenwood where we could go to training and play a match among ourselves, because there were so many lads and everybody just wanted to get out and, you know, meet people and socialise a little bit. And that sort of social aspect of the team was really enjoyable. But because we were so far, for so long, we couldn't do that. So, you know, it was a big stress reliever, I think, for communities, not just in Kildare, but I think the length and breadth of the country.
And what are clubs and county boards doing for money at the moment, John?
Well, that's the other side of the match. You know, it's very, very difficult. Obviously, you know, there's no fundraising. Every club in Kildare and beyond, you know, have certain fundraisers during the year. County boards, you know, they're all dependent on gate receipts. And, you know, they're obviously down. But I think that's a major problem for the GAA going forward, and indeed all the sporting organisations, you know. So it is really challenging. And, you know, you don't think of it. I'm not an administrator of the association, but when you listen to the chairman of Westmead and the chairman of Laois came out last week and talked about, you know, maybe next year is when you're really going to see, you know, the problems financially, where they just can't afford to put teams on the field. That's a real worry going forward.
Yeah, because Michael Foley, even at club level, even clubhouses not been open for having the bar in the way that they would have in the past. I'm even hearing from friends of mine involved in clubs that they're having issues even with the weekly club lotto draws, aren't getting in nearly as much money as they would normally have done.
Yeah, and it's all those little nuts and bolts things, Matt, that are going to have the impact long term. I mean, if you even think about something like club membership, you know, as it stands now, you know, people have paid their club membership. They're probably not going to get much bang for their buck this year. It's obviously been improved by the fact of some games played. But, you know, you're always going to have people in the club that will pay their club membership regardless. But you also have a lot of communities with new people coming into it who maybe have just joined the club, a local GAA club, in the last year or two. And they might be looking at it now going, well, will I bother joining next year?
Or they may have other had clubs. A fall in income. They might have lost their job.
Absolutely. It's all those, again, it's all those kind of, you know, 1 + 1 = 2 kind of problems, you know. And like, you know, clubs themselves might almost feel an obligation to kind of provide some kind of discount next year or something like that. So what Johnny says is right. I mean, the legacy of this, not just at national level, because it's all links in a chain. The legacy of this thing is going to be felt by clubs and counties for a long, long time to come. And as Johnny mentioned there, I mean, you're already talking about clubs or counties openly talking, you know, will we actually be able to afford to actually field a county team this autumn next year? You know, it's an extraordinary sort of
so
situation.
So smaller counties which actually see themselves maybe as having little chance of winning a provincial title, let alone making a pitch at the All-Ireland, might write the year off, might they?
Well, I think that, look, I think there's going to be some very, very serious decisions to be made in the next month or so. It's 5 weeks away now from when county players are meant to go back training. If we're in a situation where the crowds aren't going to be increased, the GAA have always said that they will play a championship, but that they wouldn't play it behind closed doors. If it comes to the point where you're looking at, well, how are we going to actually run a championship without counties themselves getting into such financial difficulties that quite apart, I mean, there's a sense, obviously, that there will be a social benefit for the whole nation for a GAA championship and for any major sport like that to be played, but particularly the GAA championship. But if it's going to kind of get counties, individual counties, into a situation where they really, really are in dire straits in terms of running their own games, well, where's the line? Where is the line drawn where it's worth doing and where it's not okay. worth doing at all? It's,
of course, there
it's going
also
to be a difficult
the issue,
call.
The issue that the GAA would be able to get money in from the television contracts if they run the championships and also the sponsorships and the rest of it. But it's a very difficult, tricky one. Michael Foley from the Sunday Times, Johnny Doyle from Kildare, thank you very much for being with us here on The Last Word of Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.